And for my number one is to focus on the future and stop dwelling on the past. I know it can be difficult sometimes because your past can come up, especially I find that happening with me, but it's important to keep looking forward, stay focused, and that's the reason why we are here. All right, here we go. This is a podcast, Sam Cat. I've been wanting to do a podcast for a while. I am Sean Booth, for those of you that know me, and I got my wing woman here, Sam Cat, not your legal name.
That, unfortunately, no. My name is Sammy Shea.
And how did we come up with Sam Cat?
Do you not really remember?
No.
Okay. Well, I have a cousin who goes to your gym as well, Kelsey, and her nickname is Kelsdog. And one time, Sean jokingly called me Sam Dog, and Kelsey almost lit you on fire. She said, excuse me, there's only one dog in this family. And then somehow it just translated into Sam Cat. And now here we are years later, by the way, and I have not shaken the nickname.
And everybody calls you that.
Everyone.
You're welcome.
The worst part is that I answer to it.
Yeah.
I don't know when that started.
Sam Dog's got a nice ring to it too, though.
But, I mean, listen, at this point, just call me whatever.
All right.
But Sammy, Sammy is what I prefer for those of you who are not.
All right. So those of you at home, we got Sammy, absolute firecracker. You're going to love her or you're going to hate her. It's going to go one direction or the other. We're just going to lay that out there for you right now.
Sean hasn't made up his mind either.
I still haven't made up my mind 5 years later.
Yeah.
But when I've been thinking about doing a podcast, right, I'm in the fitness field and I've always wanted to do something kind of motivational, inspirational, talk to people and kind of learn the tips and tricks of success. Also want to talk about some lifestyle stuff and just have a good time. And one thing that I'm nervous about right now and having a podcast is I don't want to just be some guy with a podcast, some guy who's been on a reality show. So I want this to be something meaningful, have meaningful conversations. I look forward to talking with people who are listening to the show and most importantly, just having a good time. So that's what we're going to do. My background, I come from reality TV and I was on a little show called The Bachelorette ABC where I quote unquote won. I won a human being.
Yikes. Maybe don't.
That's what people say. It's always the weirdest thing. Like, oh yeah, you won that show. I'm like, I guess I won a human.
Don't say that.
Yeah. But,
you're going to get canceled. We're 30 seconds in, Booth.
Yeah, Jesus. We can't get canceled after the first
episode. So like you said, there might not even be three episodes. This is going to be the first one, and that's it.
It could be. We'll see how it goes. And so since then, it's been already it was 2015.
I was not there. I don't know.
8 years. That's wild.
Yikes.
8 years. And that was probably the craziest, best experience of my life. Mm-hmm. I don't talk about it often, and people always ask me and wonder if I had a good time on that show. I think because I kind of got into that scene and then got out right away because I never wanted to be just the guy known as the guy from The Bachelor. I wanted to do more with my life and kind of use that platform that I had, which I'm lucky and grateful for. But I don't want to deny the fact that it was an insane, incredible experience and I'm so thankful for. I got friends from that show. It just was something to me that wasn't fulfilling and I wanted to seek out more and start a career. And that's when I, took a full shift towards fitness and opened up the gym right down the road here in Nashville, Tennessee, Booth Camp Gym. And that's where we met.
That one faithful day.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you met me?
I remember you walking into the lobby.
Okay.
And it probably was,
I think it was like day one that you opened.
So you were one of the first members.
I was a founding father, remember?
That's right.
Remember when you had founding members and I just kept calling it founding fathers because—
The founding father.
I think I was, call me daddy, baby. No, I basically had moved to Nashville. I was going through a hard time, but I also have a background in fitness and I was a gymnast for 20 years. I had moved to Nashville, kind of got the lay of the land and it was time for me to join a gym. And I will never forget that I was having a tragic day. And I was trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do with my life. And I was like, I need to join a gym. I need a community. I need to get back to feeling good, endorphins, exercise, yada, yada. And I had an apartment that was semi-close to the gym. And I tried to take the back road, which now I'm very familiar with because you make us run it all the time. but it did not connect the way I thought. So I went down the hill and I looked to the left and there was like hundreds of people doing fitness. And I was like, is this a sign from the universe? So I Googled it, Instagrammed it, and it came, come to find out it was like your grand opening, like open workout. And I was like, all right, on Monday, I'm going to go to this gym and I'm just going to try it out because life is what you make it, baby. So I showed up and I put my hand on the door. And before I opened the door, I said to myself, I said, if I open this door and the person sitting behind the front desk is in great shape, I'm joining this gym. And I opened the door. Jordan was sitting in one seat and you were sitting there. I was like, God damn it, these guys are ripped. And I was like, well, guess I'm joining this gym.
And now we can't get rid of her.
And the rest is history. Yeah, like you'd want to. Come on.
So you were having a tragic day. What was your tragic day?
I was young. I was 26, 27. I'd moved to Nashville with no job, no friends, no place to live. Had no idea what I was doing. I was out of a long-term relationship that I thought was going to be for the rest of my life. And it obviously did not end up that way. And so I was just struggling. Like I was just trying to figure out what I was doing. I knew that I had nothing to lose, but at the same time, everything to prove because, you know, every parent's dream, I came home and said, I'm quitting my job and I'm moving to Nashville. Oh, to do what?
Not to be a country singer.
Listen, if you've heard me sing, okay, easy, buddy. If you've heard me sing, you'd know that that was not the route I was choosing. But I was working in sports, so I thought maybe I could do something with the Preds, the Titans. Like, there's a bunch that Nashville has to offer. And I just feel like I had visited here multiple times, and I knew that this was the place I wanted to be. But beyond that, I had no plan. So I feel like, what was I doing? I was having a mental breakdown. I was driving my car very safely, having a mental breakdown, trying to figure out what my next move was going to be. Yeah. And then the clouds parted, and there was you shaking that thing. And I was like, I want to take fitness from that guy.
On the black turf. And I think that's where we kind of bonded too, because you went through a tough breakup. Mm-hmm. You didn't know where your life was headed. I was going through a similar thing shortly thereafter. And
mine was way more public though, let's be honest.
Way more public.
Yeah.
Yep. You
a lot of opinions.
Away from it. Yeah, exactly. And that's where we kind of became friends. You were there for me during my tough times. I don't know if I was there for you as much during your tough times.
But listen, I was more healed. Yeah. Mine was before yours. So I feel like I saw what you were going through, or like I had so much empathy for you is really what it came down to. I was like, wow, I know exactly how you feel. I mean, granted, did I know exactly how you feel? No, but I could relate. Like everything that you were thinking and saying and feeling and all those things, I'm like, yeah, been there, done that, buddy. Like within the last 6 months.
Yeah. And it was such a weird thing because it was such a public thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was opening up a business and I was spending every waking hour there and just trying to get that thing off the ground, up and running. And at the same time, going through a breakup and trying to figure out who I'm friends with and who I'm close with and having these conversations with different people every single day because you have hundreds of people walking through those doors and trying to keep on like a straight face and trying to be positive about everything. And
a new business owner.
No
pressure there.
No pressure. And so I always say like the gym for me was probably one of the best gifts that I've had in my life. And it's been the most fulfilling thing that I've ever done. Just being able to grow that business, but more importantly, the relationships that I formed at that gym in the last 5 years have been greater than some of the relationships I've had my entire life. So I'm very thankful for that place and thankful for people like you. And now we're here.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, don't expect any more.
That is recorded for the entire world to hear. I am going to, when you're mad at me next time, I'm going to remind you of this.
Yeah, just put it on repeat, on a reel.
Oh, you think I won't?
Yeah, she's already got it made in the back. But dad anyways,
joke. Was that your first dad
I've
joke?
I've only got dad jokes. Jeez. That's all I've got. That's all you're here.
No, it's actually pretty true.
Yeah.
Well, when you tell me, when did you know that I was going to be your real friend instead of just some chick that goes to your gym?
I don't think it was like a...
Keep saying warm fuzzies to me, Sean.
It wasn't like a...
It was a slow build.
I think it was a slow build.
Why all of a sudden are you getting nervous?
No, it wasn't a slow build. I think that you just have a very welcoming, warm, bubbly personality. Where I'm probably opposite. Like I think I'm a little more.
I also didn't give a shit of who you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, that's cool. I also date people.
I think that's why.
It's just not on camera.
Yeah. Because when you go through that world, right? It's also like the whole thing of fame and quote unquote fame. When you go through reality TV and I was working a regular job, 9 to 5. And then, you know, 12 weeks later, I am engaged on the cover of People magazine, going on Jimmy Kimmel, all this stuff. You don't know how to react to that, right? And everybody all of a sudden starts reacting differently towards you, which was probably the hardest part. Is it's like, you've known me my whole life. Like, after you go on TV for one episode, you're getting everybody and their mother who you've ever met reaching out to you, right? And it's just a weird
place. What are they saying, though? They want something from anything. You, or just want
to
be...
You start to just kind of try and figure out who's your actual friend or what people want. And I think, so going back to you, it just seemed like a very natural friendship where you were just like, hey, I want to be a friend.
Caught him in the web.
Caught me in the web. And yeah, it just formed from there.
But I kept you grounded. I still keep you grounded. You're not that funny. And I just want you to know that.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I think my closest friends are the ones that obviously don't give a shit about what I've done in my life. Mm. The ones that will keep me grounded.
Yes.
And tell me how dumb I am and how not funny I am and all that stuff.
Wow, you keep such positive people around you.
Exactly.
Congrats to you, bud.
It's a great circle to have. So anyways, we're going to try this podcast out. And we'll have episodes every week, new episodes. We'll have fun guests on from all different walks of life. Mm-hmm. We've got fun segments. We've got podcast platforms, YouTube, the TikToks. Are we doing TikToks?
Oh, my God.
We got the TikToks.
With the young whippersnappers?
Hey, I heard Snapchat's back. I heard it's blowing up.
From who?
My manager.
The TikToks?
No, they said Snapchat's making a big push.
I never got into it the first time, so maybe the second wave is going to be my...
Yeah.
Why did you love Snapchat, Sean?
I don't know. It was just...
Is it creepy or is it welcoming to the fans here?
No, it was big when I got off the show.
What does that have to do with you liking it?
We just gravitated towards that.
Oh, okay,
that.
Okay,
we
okay.
use that a lot.
Okay, got it.
So...
Yeah, there's no proof.
Yeah. No, I guess. Oh, yeah. You're talking about like sending dick pics.
No, I am not. Jesus Christ. I'm talking about like, from what I've heard, first of all, sir, no dicks involved, is that there's like obviously a period of time after the show that you cannot be public and you cannot have things leak to the media.
Right.
So Snapchat, if someone screenshots it, they tell you that someone screenshot it. So therefore you cannot get your DMs leaked or something like that because it disappears.
Right.
That's the direction I was going with, you creepy old man.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't know. But if I had kids, I don't know if I'd want them on Snapchat for that reason alone.
No, I mean, I don't... social media, that's a whole nother episode. Are we going down that road? How do you raise a kid with social media?
I mean, what age do you give your kid a phone? My nephew has a phone now. He's 11, I believe. He just turned 11.
Like an iPhone? Internet access and everything?
I don't know how much internet access he has, but he's got a phone and every phone has internet access. And I called him up on his birthday on his phone and I was like, hey buddy, just like text me whenever you want. Like I'm here if you want to talk about anything. He hasn't texted me once.
he's like, my uncle will not stop texting me. It's so gross.
Yeah. I've texted him and everybody who knows me, I am notoriously terrible at texting and responding. And it's something that I strive to be better at. He is worse than me.
How are you going to start the first episode lying to everyone? You strive to be better at texting. Do you know how easy it is to be a good texter, Sean?
Yeah, it's part of my daily affirmations I tell myself. Respond as soon as somebody texts me, but it's still not working.
How's that working
out
for you? You want me to open my phone and check how many times you haven't answered me?
No, we won't go there.
Okay.
But we'll go into my nephew's text thread just so you guys can hear how this conversation has been going.
My uncle will not leave me alone.
He is... Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if he's getting to that cool guy stage yet. I don't think so. But I said, this was on Sunday, March 19th. I said, Luke, my man, it's Uncle Sean. What's going on over there? He responded that same day. He goes, hi, nothing much. And that
was
it.
Thank you so much for reaching out. Please leave me alone.
So, and then Saturday, so he actually had, I don't know if you guys watch March Madness. But this year was the craziest March Madness of all time. Go Huskies, UConn. But there were schools that obviously weren't supposed to be in the Final Four. It was like the year with the most upsets. And he filled out a bracket and he picked Florida Atlantic University in the Final Four, which I don't know how many people in the country did that, right? He just picked them.
Four of them.
Yeah. So my brother-in-law, his dad sent me the bracket. He's like, Luke had FAU in the Final Four. I go, that's crazy. So I was watching the FAU game and they lost. And I said to Luke, I said, hey, tough loss, man. It was a great game though. And that was on Saturday. He responded to me on Monday night and said, yeah.
So he takes after his uncle is what you're saying.
That was it. And that's our thread right there. Those four messages. So we're going to work on that.
Oh, you're going to teach him?
No, I need to send him to somebody else because, yeah, but we'll see. I don't know if I'll ever get my kid a phone until they're like 16, 17. Until they can buy 17. It there or something. But you want one for safety, for emergency
contact. I agree.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a phone until I was 16 and I'm still here.
Yeah, you are.
The world is different though. I understand that. I have no idea. I give props to any parent who's navigating that.
Yeah, I had a beeper when I was in middle school. I had a beeper.
You're not that old. Oh, in sixth grade. Okay.
Yeah.
Did we go to high school in the same? When did you graduate high school?
2004.
When I started high school. Gross. Yeah.
Oh, so we're not that far apart. You're old too.
I know. That's okay. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
It's getting better with age.
It is.
But these kids today, listen to me. These kids will never know what it was like to send a text when you had to type like five fives to get an H.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Now it's just like,
yeah. That like showed grit.
He got to work for it, baby. Yeah. And then also, so remember when you could only send like 30 texts or something like that in a month or something?
Yeah, you'd always go over the limit.
There was no storage on your phone, so you had to delete texts.
Yeah.
You took a picture and it looked like something that someone painted on a boat that they came to America in because it was so grainy. It's not good.
Not good. Yeah, not good. Yeah, we're getting old. Yesterday, I felt really old, actually. I felt like the old guy, the old boss.
You are.
I have an incredible staff of trainers, coaches, my business partner, Carmen. You know that. Our staff is, the best.
Elite. It's part of the reason why I go there.
And one of my trainers, she's like, hey, Sean, I'm having a birthday party next week. It's on Saturday. I would love if you can come. I was like, yeah, awesome. Like, thanks for the invite. She's like, yeah, just heads up. Like, I'm going to have some friends there and, we're going to be drinking and, there's probably going to be some weed there. I was like, oh my God, you're talking to me like I'm.
Like you're going to report them.
Yeah. She's like
you're
going to fire me.
I mean, I thought you were going to lead this into like, it starts at 8 and you were going to say PM because you go to bed at 5:30.
But she was just like warning me of what's going to happen at the party.
You've never been to a party.
Yeah. It's wild. Also, this isn't going to be a bachelor, bachelorette podcast per se, right? If you're looking for recaps on who got a rose the night before, I'm not going to have that information. I haven't watched the show since my season. I didn't even watch the show during my season because it was kind of weird because I was already engaged with my fiance and then I'd have to watch back her, going on dates and making out with these other guys. So it was a very weird dynamic. I never really watched the show. But I'm open to talk about it.
It's part of who.
It's a part of my story, who I am. I understand people. It's such a fascinating thing in our culture, and I get it. It is just.
The show in general?
The show in general. Obviously, no, just that show. I mean.
No other reality show.
But it's so crazy to think that you have one person that then dates 25 people, and then you end up getting engaged by the end of it. Like, there's so many things that people don't know that goes on behind the scenes and people want to know about. So I always get asked to this day.
Are you open to sharing those things?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it is I don't want to like knock it, but I feel like it's an experiment on like human emotions and human connection and all of those things that it's just, like you said, you've told me a few stories, but I by no means was on the show. I don't know the intricate details, but at least on the show, you knew someone was dating 25 other people. Here in Nashville, you have no idea until you run into them at the Tin Roof and you're like, oh, hey, how's it going, bud?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pretty similar.
Same, but different.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And it's something I always say that I experienced every single emotion to mankind on that show. Like the highest of highs, lowest of lows, just like going through that whole process. When I came out of it, I just went through a period where I had like no emotion. Like, I think I was just completely drained of emotions.
When was the first time, you still could have had no emotions, but it's just like the first time you still don't have emotions.
I'm still numb. I'm still numb.
That
5
you
years
came
later.
Out of like a almost shock, let's say shock, because someone noticed you Or like all of a sudden you're walking like
I know
in
the
an
first time that somebody asked for a photo and I was going into Bank of America and I came out and there was this girl standing there and then she's like, "You're Sean from The Bachelorette." I'm like, "Yeah, I guess I am."
She's like, "And that's where it all began."
And I was like, "You're the first person to ask me for a photo." And it was,
you think that,
and that was the last,
framed?
That was the last time somebody asked me for a photo.
Okay. First of all, I know, I know that's a lie. I've been there.
But yeah, no, it was wild.
I feel like there was a period of time when I first met you that if we went out, like girls would ask for a photo. And for some reason, I was always the one taking the photo. Yeah. But I also just like, remember when you came to the Kenny show with me last summer?
Yeah.
And some girl was like looking at you and I was like, "Do you want a photo with him?" Sean did not like that. He was like, "Sam Cat, don't do
that." Yeah, it still makes me uncomfortable. It's a weird thing. I never really got used to that because I'm always like, I didn't do anything. That's a part
of- But they fell in love with who
no,
you
but
were.
They, yeah, I guess.
What do you mean
But
you
I was
guess?
In a relationship with somebody. That's the whole thing with fame and stuff, which I think is crazy. Is like, you want to take a photo with me if I wasn't on the show, but since I was on a TV screen, then you want a photo.
Isn't that literally the difference between being a regular civilian like myself and being someone who's been seen in the public eye like you?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, nobody's asking you to take photos with me.
And then here's the other thing. When people take photos with people in the public eye, it's like, are they taking photos because they want to have a photo with them? Or are they taking photos so then they can show people on social media that they're taking photos with that person?
Absolutely blowing up their group chat. Absolutely. Right. Look who I met. I'm cooler than you.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to get.
It is weird.
Used to, which
don't spiral. Don't spiral. Come back to me. Come back to me. I see you going down that. Nope. Okay. Next subject. Let's not overanalyze that.
Yeah. Not overanalyzing that. But yeah, that transition from going from that show to the real life, to the real world, which wasn't even real. It didn't seem like.
Yeah.
Did
you move back to Nashville right away after the show?
So I had to, I lived in Nashville and then there was still 12 weeks before the final episode. Mm-hmm. Obviously nobody could know that I was engaged and, had to go on these like secret little private getaways with my fiance at the time to make sure that
you still liked each other,
that we knew each other.
Sure.
Right. So they set you up in these random houses out in the hills of LA where they will pick you up at your house under an alias. So my name was Eric.
Are you allowed to disclose that? I feel like, okay. I mean, it's been 6 to 8 years. We're good.
So I would be outside of my apartment and they'd be like, "I'm here for Eric." I'm like, yeah, that's me. I'm Eric. And then you'd fly. And then same thing at the airport. Somebody would drive you to a random house. And then her name was Ariel. So it was the Little Mermaid. Right? Eric and Ariel?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
That was my favorite movie as a kid. Now you've ruined it, but it's fine. I'll get over it.
And then you would literally just stay in this house for 3 days where they would just stock it up with food and booze. And they'd be like, "All right." And they'd have somebody stay in the house with you to make sure that you wouldn't leave, but they wanted you to get to know each other. And this was every other week or so. Yeah. Flying into LA for that. So that was during the airing of the show.
Sure. But then you came back to Nashville and
came
like
back to Nashville.
Had a quote unquote regular life.
Yeah. Then I moved to Vancouver where she lived for a while for a couple months. And then, eventually moved back to Nashville to live a regular life.
So then once you're back in Nashville living your regular life, how long was it before you're like, "You know what? I'm going to pour my heart and soul into opening a business that involves fitness"?
Yeah. It was tough because we're always on the move and always traveling and having to go from this place to that place and traveling all over the country, all over Canada. And it was fun and exciting, but it got to the point where I was just getting like kind of sick of it. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like a lot of fun.
It's always hard to be
on
the go.
You're just getting, you know, what's the word I'm looking?
Jet lag?
You get jet lagged. But kind of getting spoiled, like you're just going to all these parties and people just want to do this and do that. And it got to a point where it just wasn't fulfilling.
Sure.
So I'm like, I just want to have something steady that I can look forward to every day. And that's when I started thinking about opening business. And I did workouts across the country and in Canada before I opened up the gym. And the gym was kind of something that just was an opportunity that presented itself with a gym owner here in Nashville who wanted to sell their gym, and I was doing some group classes there. So she asked me if I wanted to buy from her, and then that's kind of what I did, and just went full speed and hit the ground running with it. And it's been incredible. We've grown every year, and we got more locations coming soon. Stay tuned for that. But yeah, that was the business journey.
Yeah, but did you always know you wanted to open a gym, or did you think it really just fell out of the sky? Like, you knew you wanted to be involved?
I knew I wanted to be involved. I've been involved with sports my entire life. I've been an athlete my entire life, loved fitness, been a personal trainer. And that was something I've always had in the back of my mind. It sure. was just like an incredible opportunity that was perfect for the timing.
So that helped you pull the trigger on actually making it a reality?
Correct.
So then how'd you find your staff? Like, you just were like, hey, I'm opening a gym. Come one, come all.
Yeah. So I think that any part of the business that's going to be the toughest is finding the people. Like, people, the most important part of your business, if it's going to be successful, you have to have the right people. And it takes a little while to get that kind of right mix. And I've been blessed with a phenomenal staff. And I've learned a lot just having a business in the past 5 years. And I've learned a lot just about life in the past 5 years. I know you have too.
Yeah. We've come a long way.
We've come a long way.
Since our wounded meeting, our wounded, if you will.
Yeah, that's right. The wounded meeting.
We limped
meeting.
Through that part of life, but.
We've learned a lot. And I think that's a good segue to get into our.
Did we just do that?
Top four.
We did not even practice that.
Didn't practice that.
We should see other people. This is weird.
We don't even have a name for this. And
listen, it's our first episode.
It's our first episode.
We're working.
We're doing a top four. All right. We don't want to do five because I don't like odd numbers.
Which is, I did not know that until like an hour and a half ago, which is the strangest thing you've told me in a while.
Yeah.
He just came out. I don't like odd numbers. Let's go even.
Like, I okay. can't do odd. Like, if I'm turning the volume, I can't go to like 33. It's got to be 32 or 34. Like, it's just.
Okay. Like, keep it. Keep those notes for, that's the next session you're in.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's.
Anyway, so back to top four.
Top four. Our top four things.
That, you know, we've learned and we wish we could tell ourselves 5 years ago.
Correct.
Four things I wish I would have just known. And also, like, taken seriously. I feel like if I traveled in time and I saw myself come back and tell me these things, I'd take it pretty seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very serious people here.
You want me to kick it off?
Let's kick it off.
All right. Well, my number four is that if on a dating app, he's wearing a hat in every single photo, there's a reason. So pay attention to that, Sammy. And listen, there's no shade to bald guys. I like bald guys. But you know what I don't like? People lie about being bald.
So you think that they're just lying completely?
100%. You don't have one photo at like a wedding not wearing a hat? Liar. That means that you're trying to hide it from me. So when I walk into whatever bar I'm meeting you in and I'm looking for the man that I saw on my dating app and like the light is ricocheting off your head and I don't recognize you, wish I would have known that. Wish I would have paid more attention to that.
This makes me laugh because I was told a story here and I'm not, listen, I don't want to get into any gossip or any rumors, but there's a country singer here who wears a hat all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you told me this.
I did tell you this story. Ironic you bring this up.
This thing, he just always wears a hat and some girl was dating him and then she said that he literally kept his hat on in bed when they were having sex. So
I did tell you that story.
I think that's the type of guy you're talking
that's
about.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, hey, listen, being
he's
a bald-
He's really going branding hard there.
No, that, to me, that reads insecure. That reads- Jesus Christ, food. To me, that reads as like an insecurity. And I don't think there's any shame in being bald. Like, dude, we're aging.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I like, if you're bald, like, so is however much of the percentage of the population.
Right.
But like, don't hide it.
You got to go.
I feel like that's like deceiving.
Yeah. At one point, you just have to pull the plug and just shave it completely.
100%.
Right, fellas?
Yes.
Yeah. What just, part is that? Like, if your receding hairline is going, are you just ready to buzz it off or what?
Yeah, I think the moment it gets to be like you're embarrassed to pull it back, you just got to get rid of it.
When it gets like the length of your, the height of your ears,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good line.
Sean's just asking, you know, like what would it be like?
I'm
because I have
be-
a great head of hair is what you're trying to say right now. I can't relate because I have luscious blonde locks.
My dad's got a full head of hair. Both my grandfathers had a full head of hair. I'm feeling good.
I think, I mean, at this point, if you're going to be, what, 37 this year?
Yeah.
And you still got your hair, I think you're good. Yeah.
I am starting to get gray in my beard, yeah, which I don't
cool.
mind.
Yeah, that's cool. I just feel like aging is cool. Like, let's just do it. Yeah. Like, don't be deceiving about it.
Yeah, I like that.
If we're going to start with you deceiving me, chances are it's not going to work out.
All right.
That's my number four, baby. Pay attention.
All right. If you're swiping, you see Sam Cat on Tinder, take the hat off.
I do not have a Tinder, so you will not see me.
My number four is social media is not real life. And I think too many people fall into that trap and put way too much time and energy in trying to create this perfect image of themselves. And I used to get worried about what I posted, what I put out there, what people would think. And now I'm just like, I don't give a fuck.
It's mostly curated. It's like, it's a highlight reel. And I do think it's, I mean, not to go back to us being old geezers, but just like imagine being a kid these days see that on every waking moment on your phone and they think it's reality. It's like, you don't know what's a filter. You don't know what's auto-tuned. I mean, I don't know. I'm stretching here, but it's just like, that's not who they really are.
Oh, I'm so glad we didn't have social media in college, high school for many reasons.
First of all, I'd be in jail.
Yeah, for many reasons. I remember when we got Facebook, I was actually leaving my dorm freshman year of college. And so like that summer, like coming back sophomore year, we had Facebook and we would have to take photos with actual cameras, plug them into the computer to upload the photos.
Oh, and it was like 300 photos a night.
Yeah.
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 Horrifying. Horrifying.
Yeah. A whole album.
I also had no eyebrows in any of the 300 photos, which I feel like, what was I doing? Sammy, fill in your eyebrows. Okay, maybe that should have been my number four.
Yeah. It's just like 300 photos in a dirty basement in college.
Oh, I can smell it.
Yeah.
Here, awful. Just drink this juice. That's safe.
Whew. Now they have those things called, have you seen these? They're gallon jugs. What's the name of it?
Calling them Borgs.
Borgs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I have
so they have these Borgs, which I think is kind of smart and also kind of dangerous, but they fill their own drinks and they carry around like a gallon thing of what would be water, and it's their own elixir of alcohol. And that way they're not sharing with anybody and they have it all day at the parties. So you're not mixing. You don't have to worry about people putting anything in
kids
your drink.
Soft these days. Remember, you used to play beer pong with actual beer in the cups.
That's what I say too. I'm like,
toss everywhere.
You drink every single cup.
And there's just like grass in it. You're like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
God.
Back in our day.
Back in our day. When did we get so old? It's like the third thing we've said that sounds like. When you were talking about when Facebook came out, I started laughing because it reminded me of when my dad told me about when they got a family microwave. Like, that's what you just sounded like. I remember our first microwave. I'm like, oh God, flashbacks.
Yeah. So Borgs, that's where it's at.
I learned something new today. Thank you.
I love
that.
How they all name their Borgs too. Like, that's part of the whole
experience.
Yeah.
Do you use the same Borg every party?
No, but you like write on the marker the name of your Borg. Like, are you a fan of Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
It's the best show of all time. But anyways, I saw somebody say it was Heisenborg. Like, that's a good one.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I made it through like 3 episodes of that. And then a guy fell through a bathtub and I was like, it's a no
for
me.
It's so good.
And then also that dude was like wearing tighty whities at all times. And I was like, there's other things I could be absorbing at this point in my life. So I just kind of...
Wait, do you get to an age when you get older that you go back to the tighty whities as a guy? Yeah, okay.
I feel like you're about a year out at this rate. Yeah. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
They say no.
I mean, at this point, it should just be a podcast for old people, the way we're talking here.
Hey, we found our niche.
Yeah, here's the niche. All right.
No, we're not all old. We still, listen, I ain't as good as I once was.
But once, I was as good as he ever was. Don't think that's it, but you're number three.
Oh, geez. Okay. So... I was brainstorming this and I was like so certain that this was going to be just easy, quick, and to the point. And then I remembered who I was speaking with. And so I'm going to put a little asterisk next to it because my number three is if he wanted to, he would. I feel as though like men are not that complicated. If he wanted to, he would. Like, it's not that hard. But as I was thinking this through, I remembered my friend, Sean Booth, who ironically is sitting right next to me. And let me tell you, this dude will overthink anything. So I'm like, if he wanted to, he'd think about it. Then he'd stress about it. Then he'd text you about it. Then he'd rip his shirt like this, got a little nervous tick, walk around, go back to the beginning, ask you again, maybe do like a little remix of the exact same words, and then be like, never mind, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, so that's incorrect statement.
No, I just think that there's an exception to every rule. I don't know if
he would. He might want to. He might. He could.
But if he wanted to bad enough, he would. And I'm not trying to like fuck around with people who don't want it bad enough.
Right.
I don't want to be an option. I want to be something that you want.
Yeah, you need him 100%. But he could still want to be 100%, but there's also something holding him back that doesn't want to be 100%.
Then that's timing and that's environment and that's situational, and it's obviously not meant to be. So if he wanted to, bad enough, he would.
Okay.
And I wish, okay, all joking aside, I feel like within the last 5 years, there were plenty of signs that I was like, damn, this dude's like not into it. I should just have walked away sooner. Why am I wasting my time on this? If he wanted to, he would. And it doesn't mean proposal. It means like, I don't know, text you back in a freaking timely fashion booth. You know what I mean? I'm sure you can understand that.
Yeah, put that on a bumper sticker. If he wanted to, he would.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that probably already exists.
All right. I can get down with that. I understand. I can see your side of that.
You
can
get down with that?
Yeah, I can get down with that. My number three is I've learned that there's heartbreak outside of relationships. And one thing is, you know, when you have a business, and I feel like you have coworkers and you build all these other relationships, and people just in the scheme of life leave, come and go, and that's okay. And not to take things personal and not to beat yourself up over things that are out of your control. That's something that I've done. And being a business, obviously, I want the best for everybody. I want the business to succeed, but there's also just life. Mm-hmm. And life happens. And there's a lot of heartbreak outside of relationships, which is okay.
Do you think if you had to, I don't even know if you can answer this, but do you think a relationship heartbreak, a business heartbreak, or like a friendship heartbreak, which one's the hardest?
I'd say a friendship.
I agree.
Heartbreak, for sure.
Why is that? It's not more or less intimate than like a romantic relationship, but I feel like there's something different about breaking up with a friend. Yeah, that is,
that one hits hard.
Yeah. Why though?
I don't know. Maybe it's because you use them to console for a relationship.
They're like your sounding board?
I don't know. I think it's just a different, I don't know, because also a relationship is a friendship, right?
Sure.
So
that's what I'm saying. I agree with you, and I don't know why. I don't know why, but I do agree that that's harder.
Yeah, because I feel like you always think that they're on your side. You guys are on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, and it could be a longer friendship.
And I feel like if you go into a relationship, there's two options. This is either going to work out or it's not. Yeah. And I don't know that I go into friendships that way. I feel like if I befriend someone, I'm just like, we're friends and that's it.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't go that way, all of a sudden you're more like surprised. Like, what the hell? How are you going to, thought we were on the same team.
I also think good friends too are hard to come by, right? So if you lose a friend, as opposed to being in a relationship, you're like, oh, well.
Plenty of fish in the sea.
Plenty of fish in the sea. You'll be okay. But friendships are also harder. Here we go again. As you get older, right?
Yeah, I feel
like you don't really need that many.
No, but I also think that like romantic relationships, they evolve and they change and you're looking for something different.
Right.
And I mean, I'm at a place in my life where I joke with my friends now. I'm like, circle's closed, baby.
Yeah.
If you get kicked out of the circle, I am not accepting new applicants. It is closed.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because I think you get to know yourself better. Very similar to a romantic relationship, but it's just like, I don't need your shit. I got mine.
Yeah. You know who you are. You know what you want. When you're growing up, you have friends, high school friendships, which are different than college friendships, which are different than your coworker friendships, which are different than your 30-year-old run-of-the-mill friendship.
Totally.
Right? But your friendships that you build now, like I have friends now that are my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've been friends with them my entire life. But I think you just have an understanding of what you want, where to draw those lines. And
just because you were friends in high school doesn't mean that you'd be friends as an adult because you're not the same person.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah, I even have like family members I was closer to as a kid, cousins and stuff that I'm like, then we grew up to be adults. And I'm like, yeah, we're not the same as adults.
Right.
But as a kid, sure. It was fun. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
But I feel like you kind of set me up for my third. because it's more of just like, oh, you know what you want. Or you know where. Oh, my second. Oh, geez, I can't count. Sorry. Math is not my strong suit. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
My second. You know what you want. You know who you are. You know what you bring to the table. And I think that that's just like growing out of insecurities. I am not proud to say it out loud, but like, I think back to within the last 5 years, like this is a new development, but like I would go on dates in the thick of a Tennessee freaking summer night, sweating my ass off, 100% humidity, 100 degrees, and I would wear jeans because I was insecure about the dimples on my ass or the dimples in the back of my legs. And you know what? So what if the back of my legs look like they have hail damage? If he is not into that, he is not an ass man. And if he is not an ass man, then he is not going to work for me.
Amen.
Why would I waste
in
time?
In the thick of it.
In
three
the thick
C's.
Of it. Three C's, baby. Three C's, three dimples. It doesn't fucking matter. I don't know. There's so many
bring
times.
Bring ass dimples back.
They never left. I've just been hiding them. They've been here the whole time, damn it. But I just remember thinking like that's just like an insecurity. I'm like, oh, he's going to think that's disgusting. Now that I'm an adult and I've met plenty of men that are just like, no, it's good. Like, we're fine. It's yeah, why did you even,
go.
Why did that even cross your mind? And I'm like, buddy, I don't know where it started. I have no idea. And I think back, if I could slap 26-year-old Sammy across the face for wearing jeans, 100 degrees outside, what?
Don't girls still, I mean, like, I feel like jeans is still like the go-to move, even in Nashville in
sure.
the heat of the summer.
Okay.
Right?
If it's a fashion choice,
yeah,
I'm with it all day. Mine was not a fashion choice. Yeah, mine was a crutch.
Okay.
Because you can't see them dimples through the jeans.
Can you see them through shorts?
What do you mean, see them through shorts? My legs are showing.
Okay.
But like, okay, ass dimples go down. Like, you know, if you didn't pay for it and you got the factory model, there's a lot of dimples, you know what I mean?
Dimps.
Yeah, a lot of dimps going on. All it doesn't just like, you know, the reason someone like the Kardashians have no dimples is because they paid for it and it came from other parts of their body.
Yeah.
When it's au naturel, ass so fat and the thighs do match.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
If there's one thing we know about this podcast, we're pro ass dimples.
Yes, we are.
There we go.
And you should be too, baby.
Let's go.
Let them dimples fly.
I like it. Let them.
Hail damage is in.
Let them fly. And my number two is to just go on the dates. You never know what you're going to get from it. You never know what's going to happen. You got to stop overthinking. And I think a lot of people try and look for something perfect. And without even giving a shot, they might be perfect, but you just don't know it yet because you didn't even try it.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like what's the harm in putting yourself out there or asking or going for it? Because if the answer is no and it doesn't work out, then you're in the same position you're in right now.
Yeah.
Did you really lose anything? If anything, you gained something. You're going to learn from that experience. And I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but it's just like, aren't you happy where you are now? It's just like, yeah, I mean, all these things led me to where I am now, but it's just like, maybe I should have been a little easier on myself, not so hard on myself. Just go for it.
Yeah. And I think also in today's time and age of social media mm-hmm. and the options, right?
Ugh,
I can't even, you know, I think back to when our parents were dating or our grandparents were dating and they fell in love, right? And it was like one of the first kind of, maybe the first person they talked to
right.
or one of the first relationships they've been in, and they ended up staying in that relationship for the rest of their lives.
Because they didn't have distractions.
Distractions, and you go on social media, and you see this, you see that, you see this, and I feel like it's so hard for people to date now
yes.
because of that, where people don't take that chance on one person because they might be thinking that there's something else better out there.
I couldn't agree more. And I hate that because I feel like I have also done that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but what if? It's, I guess it comes down to what if, but it's yeah. like, if you're going to live your life that way, just jump in 2 feet, go for it.
Get that toe in there. Dip that toe in the pool.
No, that's the opposite of what I'm saying. Don't dip your toe in the pool. Cannonball, Booth.
All
cannonball.
Right. We'll go for the cannonball on that one.
Oh my God.
With the cannonball. Ass dimples out.
Yeah, ass dimples out, toes in, but like going in. We're getting off track. I'm going to my number one. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
My number one, and I put it as number one because I mean it the most, is developing, maintaining, and just sticking with unfuckwithable boundaries.
That's a new word.
Unfuckwithable is not a new word. I did not make this up, but I do feel like once, you know, the evolution of getting to know yourself, becoming less insecure and all of those things, I developed a sense of unfuckwithable boundaries. And now I know when I'm going into a date, when I'm going into a business meeting, when I'm going into a podcast with my friend, listen, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I bring to the table. Here's what I know I'm good at. Here's what I know I need to work on. And just being aware of that, but holding yourself accountable to whatever boundaries you've set for yourself. Everybody has a different level of threshold of what they will tolerate or what they want to move forward from or whatever it may be. And so it's not one size fits all, but everybody could have one set of unfuckwithable boundaries. And I just wish that I would have been more like, I mean, no regrets, not even one letter. I have no regrets, but I just feel like if I could tell myself 5 years ago, Sam, it's going to be okay. Just stick to what you know, be who you want to be. Obviously, I have a bold personality. Sometimes that rubs people the wrong way, and sometimes it doesn't. So fuck those people that it rubs the wrong way. Embrace yourself and just go for it. I mean, I feel like that's the theme of our top four right here.
I like it. Yeah.
Go for it.
What's your number one unfuckwithable boundary for dating?
Respect my time.
Okay.
Respect my time.
So if they don't text back, you're like, fuck this.
No, I mean, I think there's variations of that. Yeah. But I think that's not even just dating. I do feel like that is across the board, but I feel like something I cannot get back is time. I can make more money. I can get fatter. I can get skinnier. I can get funnier. I can get more dull. I can be blonder. I can do all of these things. I can never get the time back. Do not fucking waste my time. Don't drag me along. Be a man about it or just be honest and be like, hey, I don't know. Okay. So at least we're having a productive conversation, but don't waste my time.
If he wanted to, he would.
Hey, if he wanted to, he would, unless he's Sean Booth, then he'd overthink it and then text me about it.
There we go. Unfuck with the bull boundaries. Say that five times.
Why is that so hard for you to say?
That's a tough one. And for my number one final point, and we'll end it here, Sam Cat, is to focus on the future and stop dwelling on the past. I know it can be difficult sometimes because your past can come up, especially I find that happening with me, but it's important to keep looking forward, stay focused, and that's the reason why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's end on that.
Perfect.
Do we have like a signature send-off that we want to do?
No, we're not the Nightly News. This is a podcast.
See you next week.
See ya.